turn with me to several verses. Firstly, in the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4, the fourth chapter of the second epistle to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Wherefore we faint not, but if indeed our outward man is consumed, yet the inward is renewed day by day. For our momentary and light affliction works for us in surpassing measure an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are for a time, but those that are not seen, eternal. So turn with me to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11. Great faith chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith Moses, being born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw the child beautiful, and they did not fear the injunction of the king. By faith Moses, when he had become great, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction along with the people of God than to have the temporary pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of the Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he persevered as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he celebrated the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as through dry land, which the Egyptians, having made trial, were swallowed up. By faith the walls of Jericho fell, having been encircled for 7 days. And now in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verse 11. Came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren, and he looked on their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren, he turned this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he smote the Egyptian, and hid him in the sand. He went out on the second day. Behold, 2 Hebrew men were quarrelling. And he said to them, What that was in the wrong? Why art thou smiting thy neighbour? He said, Who made thee ruler and judge over us? Dost thou intend to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? Then Moses feared and said, Surely the matter is known. Chapter 3, verse 1. Moses tended the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he left the flock behind the wilderness and came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And the angel of Jehovah appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a thorn bush. He looked, and behold, the thorn bush burned with fire, and the thorn bush was not being consumed. Moses said, Let me now turn aside and see this great sight, why the thorn bush is not burned. Jehovah saw that he turned aside to see. God called him out of the midst of the thorn bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. He said, Draw not nigh hither, loose thy sandals from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of thy father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, Jehovah has not appeared to thee. And Jehovah said to him, What is it? What is that in thy hand? He said, A staff. He said, Cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. Moses fled from before it. Jehovah said to Moses, Stretch out thy hand and take it by the tail. And he stretched out his hand and caught it. It became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that Jehovah, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Jehovah said moreover to him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, took it out. Behold, his hand was leprous, snow. He said, Put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again. And he took it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his flesh. It came to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the other sign. It came to pass, if they will not believe, but also these 2 signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it on the dry land, and the water that thou takest out of the river shall become blood on the dry land. I'd like, with the Spirit's help, to say a few words, continuing on what we had this afternoon as the preparation, but more concerned with the individual work of preparation going on in the soul. I read to you from 2 Corinthians because we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are for a time, but those are not seen eternal. The believer on the Lord Jesus has to do with divine things. Things that are not seen by the natural eye, nor heard, nor heard by the natural ear. We have to do with God. We've already said that we need the Spirit of God so to do. And we need faith. Faith is the link between the soul and God. And I would like to bring before you a few incidents in the life of Moses that would encourage you to persevere in the Christian pathway. In Hebrews, we have a remarkable section of this great faith chapter devoted to Moses. Now, we all know that Moses not only was a man like every one of us, a human being, but he was chosen to lead God's people out of Egypt and bring them into the promised land. But I'd like to draw your attention to several incidents in his life that prepared him for coming out of Egypt and prepared him for really seeing who God is. Now, I trust everyone in this room has a link with God. I trust everyone knows who God is. Moses had to learn it. The great section here in Hebrews 11 starts with the faith of his parents, which is a very important thing. Great blessing. Many of us in this room have had godly fathers and mothers in whose faith we've been hid from the world. You know, we've been preserved from very much that is around us by the faith of godly parents. And Moses was no exception. His father and his mother took a great risk, particularly his mother, and you can check this out in Exodus. His mother took a lead in hiding him, and she preserved him from death. Well, how often have godly parents preserved us from great spiritual harm and danger? Moses had a great start. A very humble start, but a great one. But it goes on to say, by faith Moses, when he had become great, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter. No, we're not told that in Exodus. We're told it in the Hebrews. The Epistle to the Hebrews. Moses, there came a time in Moses' life when he had to make a decision, if you like. Come out for God, for Christ, so to speak. I don't mean conversion. I mean making a stand in testimony against the world. And before he could do it rightly, he had to go through a number of things. We saw, as we read in Exodus 3, that Moses, first of all, tried to come out for God, tried to take up things in relation to God in the flesh, and it failed miserably. He took it into his hands to sort things out for his people, for the people of God, and it all went wrong. He killed an Egyptian. God didn't tell him to. He wasn't acting under the divine command. He was doing it in the energy of the flesh. And you know, if we try to attempt things with God in the energy of the flesh, it will fail miserably. It won't be blessed at all. And even one of his own people said, "Art thou become a judge? Who made thee judge and ruler over us?" Well, things will go wrong unless we are with God as the priests. And this is a very sovereign matter, because the next thing we read is Moses in the wilderness. As you know, Moses' life is divided into three periods. First 40 years in Egypt, the second 40 years in preparation in Midian, and the third 40 years leading the people of God out of Egypt in the wilderness. And we're speaking now of the middle part of his life. He had to leave the world system. He had to leave Egypt. But Hebrews tells us he'd become great there. So, you know, he had a good start, a good beginning, godly parents, and no doubt in those years when his mother was nursemaid to him, she taught him to fear God. I've no doubt about that. Some seed was sown in his soul, which came to light later on. But he got on in the world, and he became great. Well, it's a great snare, you know, to young believers when they get on in the world. Make no mistake, you can look around and you can see friends of yours who've gone in for the things of this world, and where are they spiritually today? Don't be like that. Moses had to make a forced exit from Egypt, and it was God's mercy and blessing to him. Things go wrong sometimes, and you're kicked out of certain things, and it may be a great blessing to you. Well, here he is, tending a flock of sheep in the wilderness, behind the wilderness. There he was in obscurity. It's a difficult thing to be content with obscurity. It's not natural to us. We don't like it. We all like to be in somewhere or other up the front. Moses here was behind the wilderness caring for sheep. He learned to become a shepherd. What a difference to being son of Pharaoh's daughter in Egypt and becoming a shepherd in obscurity in the wilderness. But it's there where he learned God. And it's there where you and I learn God, as we're content to be nothing in this world. And God spoke to him. He came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And God spoke to him. Mountain of God, Horeb and Sinai. Horeb, the ways of God, I understand. Sinai, the law given. So he came to Horeb and God spoke to him. But he spoke to him in a remarkable way. In a thorn bush that burnt and was not consumed. Now I think this speaks to us of certainly the first interpretation of the Israel as a natural people of no great worth in the sight of God. But God was going to do great things for them. But it also speaks to us of ourselves as human beings. We are but as thorn bushes, naturally, in the sight of God. No great worth in that sense. No great worth of our own in that sense. And the thorn bush burned with fire. I rather understand it wasn't an unusual sight to see a thorn bush catch fire in the wilderness, in that hot, arid land. But to see one burning and not being consumed was something quite remarkable. Also, our God is a consuming fire. God will have to say, and has to say to each one of us, in one way or another, we may go through trials, testings and discipline. But God, our God, is a consuming fire. And what he is doing, he's refining. He's helping, he's getting rid of the effects and tendencies of the first order of man. So here is a sight that Moses turned aside to see God's face. And what does God say? He says, draw not nigh hither, loose thy sandals off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. The presence of God is holy. One of the first things we have to learn is that the presence of God is holy. Big lesson. Moses does what he's told. It's holy ground. You know, when you have to do with God, it's holy ground. When God speaks to you, you're on holy ground. God, and it demands respect. We need to fear God, not in the way the word fear is used, as in terror, but fear of respect, of the greatness of a holy God. And he says, I am the God of thy father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. God's thoughts are going through. God didn't give up his thoughts because of Moses' mistake. God's thoughts were to carry out his promises to Abraham and bring them right down through. And there was his people in Egypt, and God was going to deliver them. So God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. No change in the mind of God in relation to his people. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But we read a little while ago, Moses persevered, as seeing him who was invisible. That's later on. I'd like to draw your attention to the next three incidents, the next three things that God brings before Moses. Because I think they have a relevance to every believer, every brother and sister today. The question of the staff becoming a serpent, Moses' hand becoming leprous, and the water turned to blood. Moses had a staff in his hand. Most shepherds did. The staff, I believe, speaks of authority. And you know, when you look back into Genesis, God gave man authority. He gave him dominion over all living things. The cattle, the birds, the fish, all that moved upon earth. God gave man dominion and authority. And that authority was cast to the ground when man fell in sin. And it became a serpent. Sin emerged and became an issue. And it's Christ who took it up, taking the serpent by its tail. And it became a staff again. How right it is, how wonderful it is that Christ came out from God and dealt with the question of sin so that the authority so ruined by man could be restored through Christ. And that's the first thing that we have to learn, isn't it? We learn that in the gospel, that where sin abounds, grace has overabounded. Where sin and death has come in through Adam's disobedience, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, every one of us that turns in faith to him can have the matter of our sins dealt with. There you see the wonderful way of God in dealing with sins, my sins and yours. Staff became a serpent, and it's taken by the tail and becomes a staff again. Christ alone can deal with the matter of sin and sinners. That's the first thing that Moses had to learn, and I believe it's the first thing that every one of us has to learn. And the second is, a little bit closer home, he says, put your hand into your bosom. And when it came out, it was leprous. Moses not only had to learn that God was going to deal with sin, that Christ could deal with it, not Moses, but that he himself had sin in the flesh. And that's a very, very big thing for anyone to have to come to. But we have to. We have to realise that in our flesh no good thing dwells. Takes some of us a long while to come to it, you know. But it's a very necessary exercise to go through. And Moses had to go through all these things before he could be any use to God in relation to his people. And God will pass us through these exercises for our blessing. Because the wonderful grace was when he put his leprous hand back in again, it came out clean. It didn't stay leprous. You know, we've got sin in the flesh, but that through the death of Christ, that first order of man has gone forever. It's dealt with. Now, isn't that just right? First order of man, gone forever in the death of Christ. There is an answer. God has a remedy. And Moses had to learn this. He had to learn it early on. And he was 40 years in Midian. Long time. Long time to be in obscurity. And no doubt he was a long time persecuted. But as far as we know, he did that and persevered. And God spoke to him. Wonderful thing, isn't it? When God, in some measure, speaks to any one of us. And it's for our blessing. We may have to go through deep exercises. We may have to go through deep water. But it's for our blessing. And it's so that we may be preserved in the Christian path. I long that everyone in this room should be preserved to the coming of the Lord. That's the great object of ministry, isn't it? To help us that we may be washed by the water of the word, that we may be encouraged, held firm and steadfast until the coming of the Lord. Because Moses was sent to do these things, and the third sign was the water being poured out. That's the water of the river, I take it, of Egypt, being poured out upon the land and becoming blood. That is, I believe, a sign of the judgment of God. And the judgment of God is about to fall on this world. The world in which we live is coming under judgment. It is already, the judgment effectively has been issued, but it's suspended at the moment because it's the day of grace. But God will come out in judgment on this world. The water, that which sustains the life of the of unregenerate men, women and children, the life, the political, social, religious, entertainment, sport, whatever you will, is coming under the judgment of God. The water that sustains the life of this world will soon be turned to blood. Soon be turned to blood. There will be death here. Death will be seen in a way that's never been seen before. So those are the three things, and he had to repeat them, if necessary, all three. And you'll notice, as you study the book of Exodus, that only two of the signs were repeated to the people of God, and they believed. They didn't have to have judgment brought about to make them believe. Wonderful, that. The gospel is rather like that. You know, Christ is presented as saviour for sinners. And you have to find that you're a sinner, but you don't actually have to go through judgment to get there. The judgment is coming. But when you come to Pharaoh in Egypt, all three signs were presented. The water, Moses' staff went out over the river and it turned to blood. That was the first sign. And the judgments got more severe until the judgment of the firstborn one. Now, isn't that wonderful that Moses, in that way, was prepared by God? Yes, you may say, well, that was Moses. He was a great man. I'm not, I'm just an ordinary brother and sister. Well, so we are all of us, but we need to have firmly anchored in our souls the experiences that Moses had. I believe we need to see the power of Christ as able to deal with sin. And I believe we need to see what, for real, what's in ourselves and see who has the answer to it. Well, that's what happened. And that staff that Moses had in his hand was used again. It was used, as we said, in relation to the judgment of Egypt over the river. And it was also used over the Red Sea. Moses lifted up his staff and the waters divided. And a whole people were taken out. That's why I read on through, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. That was Moses' staff held out over the Red Sea and the waters divided and they went through as though through dry land. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. See the strength that came into his soul through the way God had dealt with him, through going through these exercises. He acquired faith and power with God. He went out, left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You can read about that in Exodus. He left Egypt, he left Pharaoh's presence in power. He didn't walk slink out. He went out in a white heap, I believe scripture says. Not fearing the wrath of the king. There was no fear there. He was made bold. God can give us boldness in difficult days. We're living in difficult days, and we need great faith. We need faith in relation to the things of God, the unseen things. You see, Moses was governed by what was not seen. He wasn't governed by all the visible array and power of Egypt, and it was a powerful nation. It was possibly at that time one of the great centres of learning and of prosperity and culture of the world of that day. And it wasn't that which attracted him. He was attracted by God. He came out of it. It's presented here. Choosing rather to suffer affliction along with the people of God than to have the temporary pleasure of sin. Moses could have had a great life in Egypt. Son of Pharaoh's daughter. Brought up in great privilege, in a great position that few of us, none of us in this room, have ever had and few in this world could ever attain to. But he put his back upon it. Well, let us firmly and faithfully, dear brother, dear sister, put our back on the world. The world where Christ has been crucified. The world where man's ideas, man's thoughts prevail, and where God's thoughts are set aside. So he chose rather to suffer affliction along with the people of God. He chose a path of humility. It says elsewhere that Moses was the meekest man in all the world, in all the earth. He wasn't naturally meek. Not what we read just now. When he went and killed an Egyptian, that wasn't a display of meekness. But I've no doubt the work of God proceeded in his soul, and he was prepared, a vessel prepared, and he became weak. Well, that's perhaps like you and like me. It's testing, isn't it, when you say these things. You know, we're often tested by what we say. But if it's right, we must say it. He had respect to the recompense. What was the recompense? The promised land, I believe. The land. The heavenly land. Our recompense. Well, we've been speaking about that this afternoon. What a recompense. What a reward. What blessings, spiritually, are our recompense. But they, in order to get there, we have to do certain things and not do others in that sense. We have to give place to the Word of God. We have to give place to the Spirit of God. The most important thing. So that we come into a state of things whereby we can appreciate the things that God has prepared. And the verse I really had in mind was, he persevered as seeing him who is invisible. You know, when you've had a view of Christ in glory, it eclipses everything else. That's what was the inward power of Moses. He'd seen him who is invisible. And he persevered. He didn't give up and go back to Egypt. The people wanted to at one stage. They were desperate to go back. No thought in Moses' mind of going back. No thought in our minds of going back. Either into the world or into the confusion around us. No thought of that. We need to persevere because we've seen something better. What we have in mind, Hebrews presents, doesn't it? Things which are better. We've got better things to go in for. We've got a better hope laid before us, set before us. We've an anchor for the soul. So there's no need to go back. By faith, he celebrated the Passover. Here we have again the Passover. This, of course, the instigation, the first Passover, the deliverance from Egypt, the blood sprinkled. Oh, how we shall never forget, shall we, the wonderful work of Christ on Calvary's cross, his precious blood shed. That blood saves us, delivers us from the destroyer. We're saved from a lost eternity. Isn't it terrific? You see, by faith, he celebrated the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Not one Israelite is recorded in Scripture as having died that dreadful night when the destroying angel went over Egypt. Every single one were found sheltering under the blood. Oh, that every single one that came under the sound of the gospel came to put their faith and trust in Jesus. But there is a pathway to be trodden. And I didn't intend to stand here tonight and preach the gospel. But I think we must never forget from whence we've come and where we've been saved. What we've been saved from. Because God has saved us from all this in order to bring us to himself. Because that was the purpose of God in bringing his people out of Egypt, was to bring them to himself. It wasn't to leave them for 40 years in the wilderness. That wasn't his purpose. That was his way with them. His purpose was to bring them to himself and to bring them into the land of their inheritance. Well, God's purpose for you and for me is to bring us to himself and to bring us into the enjoyment of our heavenly inheritance. And Moses was used to bring a people out. Because the next verse says, by faith they passed through. The influence of Moses was so great under the hand of God. And I know in type he represents Christ. That is perfectly clear. But I think here it's the influence of the man. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. What a wonderful day that was when they got out of Egypt and got across the Red Sea. Of which the Egyptians, having made trial, were swallowed up. Persons, unregenerate man, cannot pass through the Red Sea. You cannot get into the things of God by any other way than via the shelter of the precious blood of Christ and the eating the Passover. There's no other way. And the Egyptians were swallowed up. Well, we've a wonderful way out of this world, and we've a wonderful way into heavenly glory. We look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Let us ask one another, dear brother, dear sister, what are you looking at? Are you looking at the things of this world, this life, the things that are seen, or are you really looking at the things that are not seen? The things that are not seen are eternal. Everything around us is for time, and it will be destroyed. You know, we read about how God is going to finally wind up this scene. It'll be by fire. We read about Noah. We can read about Noah and how God delivered 8 souls through, and God destroyed the world by water. Peter, the Apostle Peter, tells us that the heavens and the earth reserved for fire. God will destroy everything. All the great things of this world, all the great buildings, great monuments to man, will all be destroyed. But you and I will be delivered out of it, just like Enoch. Enoch was translated. Noah was brought through the water. Noah represents the remnant of Israel brought through the coming judgment. And Enoch represents the church taken to glory. Well, how thankful we are that our lot is, so to speak, with Enoch. We're waiting to be translated. He was not, for God took him. Days coming when many, many persons here will not be, because God will have taken them. What a wonderful hope we have set before us. How bright the prospect that we have before the vision of our souls. But it's things that are not seen, you see. And you have to look for them with the eye of faith and with the power of the Holy Spirit. I would encourage particularly younger ones to go in for the things of God, to learn to depend on the Spirit of God to guide you through. And learn to read and study the Word of God. Oh, how wonderful. God doesn't leave us without resources. So that we may be prepared for every good work. May this really be our portion. May the incidences we've read about in the life of Moses serve as warnings, as guides, as encouragement. To us, so that when things are dark and difficult, we can think of these things. When things become difficult, you know, you tend to concentrate on what is difficult. And you need grace. You need the power of the Spirit to get your mind away from it and to fasten itself on Christ. Where the Christ is. Fix your mind on the things above, where the Christ is. That's what we need to do, to be delivered from what is here, and not be governed by what's seen. The world is governed totally by what's seen. It cannot be governed by anything else, because spiritually it has no link with God. But you and I, believers on the Lord Jesus, can have our eyes fixed on Christ, where he is, not where he was. Now, it's important to study the life of Christ here below, because we see divine perfection in man. But I think we need to have our mind fixed, Scripture tells us to, on where he is. He's been here. Perfection has been demonstrated that that blessed man who came here has been into death. He's been buried. He's been raised again, ascended and glorified. And that's where he is now. And he's coming from that position for us. And we're going from this position here below to there. I use the word guided, as you know. So that's where we're going to. And the Lord is there. He's there already. He's gone to prepare the place. And he's coming again soon. May our hearts be stirred up, and may we be encouraged if we are called upon to pass through difficult days by taking account of those who in the past have walked by faith. And there's not only Moses, you can take account of ones in this room who are walking by faith. And you can take account of ones you've known who walk by faith. And they should serve as encouragements and guides and helps to your soul. So that we come to Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? We are going to see him very, very soon. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a blessed hope for our soul. Blessed hope, blessed rest for my soul, as the hymn writer could say. That's where our rest is, not here alone. That's where Moses persevered to. And by faith, finally, the walls of Jericho fell, having been encircled for 7 days. That's the entrance into the land, and Jericho was the block on it. And God brought the walls down. So God can make our way through. They crossed the Jordan, they got to the gates of Jericho, and God went before, and the walls fell down. Every obstacle to our, which is a hindrance to our spiritual blessing, can be removed by faith and by dependence upon God. Do not be overcome by your circumstances, dear brother and dear sister, but be an overcomer. Be an overcomer. We read about them in the 7 addresses to the churches in Revelation. The overcomer. And it's he that has ears to hear. There you have it. Things which ear has not heard. We need to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Not only has it been recorded in those 7 chapters in Revelation, there are 7 assemblies in Revelation, but the Spirit is still speaking today. The Spirit is still speaking today. And I believe the Spirit of God draws our attention to what is necessary for us at the moment. Next week we might need our attention drawn to something else. And the Spirit of God speaks to us in relation to that. He's well able to, if we'll let him. Let us make room for the Spirit of God to speak to us in our individual lives and to as we come together. What a blessed opportunity. You know, there is. It's wonderful to read the scriptures to pray individually. It's more blessed in the home to speak about the things of God and read the scriptures. But how much more blessed is it to come together as gathering to the Lord's name and finding others to do likewise and reading the scriptures together and praying? I believe we get impressions as we come together and we gather to the Lord that we wouldn't get on our own at home. And I would encourage all to set yourselves to be at your local meetings. Because you'll get blessing and others will be encouraged. It's a day of great scattering, great fewness and departure. But let us set ourselves that wherever possible to be there, because not only do you get something, but you encourage others. See, Moses had a great influence over the people of God. I know God raised him up, but we can see something of it here. He was a tremendous influence. God was with him. God had raised him up. It was all God's doing, but he had an influence on others. And dear brother and dear sister, let us be good influences on one another. Well, we've precious things to go from. There's not much time left. Let us be earnest and holy in these things. May it be so for the Lord's sake.
Amen.